Let's pray for the Lord's blessing on the reading and preaching of His Word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come once again on this, your day, to be fed by you. Would you please apply your Word to our hearts and to our minds in the power of the Holy Spirit, that you would give us strength for today and a bright hope for tomorrow. Would you encourage us as we enter into this week for work and worship before your face. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you would turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. And we'll begin reading at verse 22. We'll also be looking at Heidelberg Catechism, question answers 94 and 95, which is found on page 889 in the back of your Trinity Psalter hymnal. Page 889. But first, looking at God's Word from John chapter 14, beginning at verse 22. It's been a while since we've looked at this. We'll start at verse 19. Verse 19 for a little more context. Hear now the word of our God. A little while longer and the world will see me no more, but you will see me because I live. You will live also. At that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Looking at question answer 94 and 95 of the Heidelberg Catechism, page 889, question answer 94 asks, what does the Lord require in the first commandment? Answer, that I, not wanting to endanger my own salvation, avoid and shun all idolatry, sorcery, superstitious rites, and prayer to saints or to other creatures. That I rightly know the only true God, trust Him alone, and look to God for every good thing, humbly and patiently, and love, fear, and honor Him with all my heart. In short, that I renounce all created things rather than go against God's will in any way. Question answer 95. What is idolatry? Answer, idolatry is having or inventing something in which one trusts in place of or alongside of the only true God who has revealed himself in his word. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, this afternoon we come again to a passage in which Jesus is explaining to his disciples that while he is going to leave them physically, he is always going to be with them spiritually. And that they will never have to be afraid that they are left alone. Christ is here giving them further assurance. Not only will they see Christ in all of life, but they will also enjoy being with Christ in all of life. And we see in our text, in verse 22, that Judas, not Iscariot, that's important. Remember, he's already out of the picture. He's going to sell Jesus. This is a different Judas. said to Jesus, "Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world?" This is actually a brilliant question. Certainly, Judas, as well as the other 10 disciples that are there, do not fully understand in this moment all that Jesus is telling them. They will only more fully understand these things after Jesus' resurrection. But his question here is a good one. Because just think for a moment with me of Psalm 19, verse 1. "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork." And so, from Judas's perspective, if all creation declares the glory of God, and Jesus is God, you see that Judas firmly believes that because he calls Jesus Lord. If Jesus is God, he is here, and he's on earth, and he's going to die publicly on the cross. How is the greatness of Christ and of God going to be concealed from the world? Judas, of course, is trying to put some pieces together here. We know from John 12, Jesus made it very clear that he was going to die on a cross. But Judas is wondering, how is it that at that point, there must be a glorious moment where we're all waiting for the kingdom of God to come in power. And Judas is saying, how is the world not going to see that? Remember, too, though, there was a wrong thinking among the disciples at this point in time. The disciples at this point are still thinking that Jesus is going to set up an earthly kingdom like the Davidic kingdom in the Old Testament. They still are working with that Old Testament framework in their minds. And so Judas is struggling to put all these pieces together. But we can appreciate the question. Because how can Christ publicly die and yet still be unknown to the world? And at the same time, yet those who follow Christ will always see him even after he leaves to go to heaven. Jesus, of course, gives the perfect answer to that question. Only those who love Christ and show their true love for him by keeping his words will receive the manifestation of Christ and of the Father. Now, of course, we know we only love God because he first loved us. We looked at that briefly from 1 John 4 this morning. But only those who are loved savingly by God and will then necessarily love God, and in turn, they are the ones that will see Christ manifested. Yet, all the Jews of Jerusalem, at that time at the Feast of Passover, about 1 million people, would have seen, if not at least heard, of Jesus being crucified. But many of them, hundreds of thousands of them, would not understand what he did there. Even though what he did there was clearly prophesied in the Old Testament, and Jesus himself had even told them what he was going to do. And even though, while Jesus was on that cross, the sky was darkened for 3 hours in the middle of the day, though the curtain in the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, though graves were opened and people were raised from the dead, there were still hundreds of thousands of people that would never really see Jesus. They would never really know him. Why? Because Jesus did not with the Father make his home with them. But for us that love Christ and whose love is proven to be genuine by obeying Christ will be in this life and forevermore ones who experience the love of God and experience God making his home with us and us with him. Now at this point you may be saying, but I have so much sin. There are so many ways in which I could be walking with the Lord Jesus and I'm not. There are so many sins that seem to have a firm grip on me. Or maybe you're saying, I'm exhausted. I've been trying to follow Jesus. But I am feeling worn out. I'm tired. To this, please turn your gaze from the things of earth and look upon the things of heaven. Remember these most glorious truths. You are not saved because of your works. You are saved because Christ has suffered and died in your place, freeing you from your sins, from the consequences of your sins, and giving you power to overcome sin in your life. Go to Christ, the well that never runs dry. Go to Christ, the well that never runs dry. For he is a well of living water and an inexhaustible source. Go to him in prayer and ask him for forgiveness from your sin and shame. But always ask him for strength to follow him in all ways and in all areas of your life as well. And second, forget those things which are behind and lay hold of Christ. Do not let your past sins hold you back and bind you from following Christ more sincerely in the future. Please hear that. Paul says in Philippians 3, verses 7 through 14, but what things were gain to me, these I have counted lost for Christ. What things did he think were gain to him? Well, one of the things he mentions previously to that is persecuting the church. Imagine what guilt and weight there must have been on the Apostle Paul as he thought about that, as he held the coats while Stephen was martyred, cheering him on as they threw the stones. And yet the Apostle Paul says, but what things were gained to me, what I thought was gained to me, these things I have counted loss for Christ, yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection of the dead. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, Christ has removed your sin from you. You are free. Run to Christ. If Christ has broken the chains of sin that so held you, why would you go back and try to put them back on again? It is a strange thing that we do, isn't it? Christ has forgiven us. We are declared righteous in the sight of God. And yet so often we go back to our former sins and we wallow in the guilt of that. And we wonder, can God really love me after I did that? Would He really save me after I did that? Is Christ's blood enough to save me from that? All of those thoughts are from Satan himself. Did God really say? And we must come back to God's Word and we must say, yes, He has. He has said He loves me. And you don't have to know deep theology to know that. All you have to know is the children's song. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. My brothers and sisters, remember that. Press on, forgetting those things which are behind, and lay hold of Christ, knowing that your Savior has already laid hold of you. Press on, dear brothers and sisters. I think that's part of, there's a lot more to that, but that's part of why Jeremiah says, your mercies are new every morning. Because all the sins of the previous day are gone. And every day we get to wake up and we get to know that I get to walk with my God by grace in His love. And so, brothers and sisters, let us go forth from this place in the resurrection power of the Holy Spirit, seeking to show our love to the Lord with every thought, word, and deed. For our God has made His home with us. I will admit I am at a loss for words to try and capture the awesomeness of our God making His home with us. How do you explain that? I'm glad to know that even the great J.C. Ryle had the same problem. But he does say the following, which is helpful, and it is a long quote, so you'll have to bear with me. But what he says here is far better than whatever I could try to say myself. And he writes, "There are special comforts laid up for those who love Christ and prove it by keeping His words. This, at any rate, seems the general sense of our Lord's language. My Father will love him and will come to him and make our abode with him. The full meaning of this promise, no doubt, is a deep faith, which we have no line to fathom it. It is a thing which no man can understand, except that he receives and experiences it. But we need not to shrink from believing that eminent holiness brings eminent comfort with it, and that no man has such sensible enjoyment of his religion as the man who, like Enoch and Abraham, walks closely with God. There is more of heaven on earth to be obtained than most Christians are aware of. Let me say that again. There is more of heaven on earth to be obtained than most Christians are aware of. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and sup with him, and he with me. Revelation 20:30. Promises like these, we may be sure, mean something, and were not written in vain. How is it, people often ask, that so many professing believers have so little happiness in their religion? How is it that so many know little of joy and peace in believing and go on mourning and heavy-hearted toward heaven? The answer to these questions is a sorrowful one, but it must be given. Few believers attained as strictly as they should to Christ's practical sayings and words. There is far too much loose and careless obedience to Christ's commandments. There is far too much forgetfulness that while good works cannot justify us, they are not to be despised. Let these things sink down into our hearts. If we want to be eminently happy, we must strive to be eminently holy. I hope we see the connection that Jesus has been making here. God has already made his home with us. If we want to enjoy the blessings of living in the Father's house, then we have to follow him. We have to obey him. The prodigal son was a son of the Father. But for a great while, he didn't enjoy any of the blessings of being a son, because he went away into idolatrous living. And though there was a day in which he could rejoice when he was received back into the Father's house, and what a joy it is for us to know that parable, it is also a sad thing to know that there were many days in which he could have experienced the blessing of living in the Father's house and he had chosen not to. And when we think about the blessings of living in the Father's house and being with him and him with us, why would we want to go anywhere else? If you're struggling in this life to find rest, peace, happiness, joy, the solution to your deficit is not one that your natural heart wants to hear. We all want a quick fix. We all just want a pill that we can take that'll just make us feel better. This will be a wrestle and a difficult undertaking, a fight, a battle fiercer than you could possibly manage in your own strength. The answer to finding the solution to your unease and unhappiness in this life is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you will only be near Him and experience the closeness of His abiding, loving presence if you are walking with Him. Walking with Him, placing your faith in Him, being faithful to Him, and enjoying fellowship with Him. This is what we should only want for ourselves and for each other. Brothers and sisters, let us go forth from this place encouraging one another to walk more faithfully with our God. That we may together as the body of Christ display our love for our Lord and our Savior, and that we would all dwell in nearness with Him all the days of our lives. And look forward to that great hope when we will be with Him and see Him face to face. What a day that will be. And so, brothers and sisters, the call to us is an encouraging one, upward and onward. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the grace that is given to us in our Lord Jesus Christ. Knowing that all the sins of the past are removed from us as far as the east is from the west. Lord, we thank You for that. Truly, we will sing praises to You, our Lord Jesus, throughout all eternity for Your sacrifice upon the cross for us. But as we go forth into this new week, O Lord, would You be pleased in the power and presence of the Holy Spirit to cause us to be obedient to the word of You, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ, that we would keep Your commandments, not because we think that they will save us in any way, not because by keeping them we think we will be more pleasing in Your sight, but simply because we want to show our love for You, and we know that we will be a greater blessing to everyone else when we do as well. And as we seek to love ourselves too, Lord, we know that the blessed life is a life lived with You. And so we pray, O Lord, would You so lead us and empower us in our lives that we would glorify You, and by glorifying You, we would thus enjoy You forever. Every morning would we wake up with such intent, and every night would we go to bed resting and knowing that all the failures of that day are removed from us by the shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. That we would lay our heads on our pillows at night, trusting in Your grace and praising You for any good work that we could possibly have done in the day, knowing that that too is a gift from You. We pray all these things, Heavenly Father, in the name of our crucified and resurrected Savior. Amen.